and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city, and he sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth. And he sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and he made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted. And he wished in himself to die, and he said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. And then the Lord said, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither made it grow, which came up in a night, and it perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. Now may your Holy Spirit speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're picking up the story of Jonah. We saw him run away. We had the story where he got swallowed in the big fish. You remember that? He didn't want to obey God. He ran away. After 3 nights... in 3 days in the belly of that great fish, Jonah finally prayed to God. And we saw before where God made that amazing fish, unlike probably any other fish, a miracle fish, bring Jonah right up to the shore and spit him out onto the shore. And he worshiped God. And then he obeyed God. And this time he went to Nineveh and he preached to the city of Nineveh. And he preached 40 days, and yet God will destroy Nineveh. And of course, we saw what happened. The people of Nineveh amazingly repented, starting with the king, and put off their clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes, and they turned from their wicked ways. And we see that God saw them turning from evil, and he relented from destroying them. And so we pick it up now in chapter 4. And in verse 1, we read, and it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Now, this is really surprising for Jonah. I mean, here's a wicked nation, a city of Nineveh. They don't worship God. And there's been a citywide revival. They've turned from great wickedness and have repented. Jonah should be jumping up and down. What a great opportunity for a man of God to be in the midst of a city, in the middle of a revival. He could be pointing them now to God. He could be teaching them about God. But instead, we see here in verse 1, it displeased Jonah. He didn't want that to happen. Nineveh was an enemy to Israel, to the Jews. He wanted them punished. He wanted God to punish them. Things weren't going the way he wanted. And so instead of being exceedingly glad, we find him exceedingly angry. And it struck me with this thought. Strong emotions can be the wrong emotions. See, Jonah was exceedingly angry, but it wasn't right. And today in our country, do you see strong emotions? You can't help but turn on the TV and see all kind of strong emotions on this side or that of different issues. And we need to be aware that we can get ourselves worked up into strong emotions that aren't right. Now, they can be right, but not necessarily. Jonah didn't want Ninevites to escape God's punishment. You know, prejudices are not something new. Isn't that amazing? Is our nation in the midst of turmoil? You see, conservatism versus liberalism, Christianity versus about everything else. You see, police officers being protested. And yet you also see groups of people that are afraid of police officers. And you see all this stuff going on, and it causes great emotion. And Jonah probably thought he was fine. We have to be careful about our emotions. I've got a prejudice. I know it. I'll admit it. When there's a football player that puts on a jersey and across the top it's got a name that starts with the letter M, and it's a state north of Ohio, I want those people to be saved, but I want them to lose every football game because I'm an Ohio State fan. And I'll readily admit that, but I got to be careful that my desire to see them lose doesn't spill over to what I think of them as people. The state of Michigan is a wonderful city. I mean, state. Wonderful people. They just cheer for the wrong football team. That's the only thing. Okay. So let's be careful of our emotions. Let's go to the next verse, verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord, and he said, now, by the way, prayer, that's a good thing, isn't it? Starting off, he's going to pray to God. That seems like that's a good thing. You're angry? Let's talk to God. But let's see what he says. He prayed unto the Lord, and he said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. He's kind of justifying why he fled before. He's kind of saying to God, I told you so. He's kind of complaining to God with his prayer. He said, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, you're slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of thou evil. See, Nineveh wasn't immediately punished like Jonah thought. And sometimes we get our hearts just set on something, don't they? When you were a kid, was there ever a present that you really wanted? Something that you really, really wanted? Yeah, I see some head shaking, yeah. And maybe you didn't get that. And maybe it wasn't the right thing for you to have then. And Jonah wasn't getting his way, and now he's complaining to God. And I noticed with Jonah, and it reminded me of myself, and probably you think the same thing, we want forgiveness. We're quick to want forgiveness, but we're not always as quick to give it. Jonah said, oh, I knew you were a compassionate God. That's the reason why I ran away. I knew that you would forgive these people. See, Jonah had pride. He didn't want his enemy to be forgiven. And I wonder how many times we've grieved God's heart by not forgiving somebody that's hurt us when God has forgiven us of everything. Christ, Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to earth. He lived a perfect life here on earth. Didn't do a single thing wrong. Didn't deserve to be punished in any way. And yet he who knew no sin became sin for us. And he died on a cross so that you and I could be forgiven of every single thing. And just to make sure it's perfectly clear, God said in his word, he said, as far as is the east is from the west, and even though your garments are like scarlet or crimson, scarlet, that's, did you know it's the color of a high state? That's a good thing. But sometimes it's not. In this case, if you got a white outfit, it's not good to be crimson. He said he'll make it as white as snow. And God has forgiven us time and time and time again. And I'm sure I have grieved God's heart by not being quick to forgive when somebody does something to me. And we see it so clearly in Jonah's life. And we can point him out, say, Jonah, you shouldn't be like that. But yet that finger comes back to us. So let's forgive as we've been forgiven. Let's go to the next verse. Verse 3. Jonah says, therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it's better for me to die than to live. You know what struck me? Is Jonah believed this. His life was over in his mind. Things were so bad, he's actually asking God to take his life. And you know what? I can talk myself into things. How many of you can do that? You can get upset about something, and we've got great imaginations. We can make ourselves think the entire world is against us. We go in someplace, and maybe somebody doesn't say something to us. Oh, that person must not like me. Oh, that whole group doesn't, man. Pretty soon we have built ourselves this storyline. And we've convinced ourselves of it. And Jonah convinced himself of something that wasn't true. His nothing wrong with his life. God had just used him amazing. I mean, to go through a wicked city and get them to listen to your message that God gave you. He should have been jumping up and down. What a story. He comes back to Israel. He could have told them, guess what happened? God sent me to Nineveh to tell him he's going to destroy him. And everybody repented, even the king. That'd be great. Great news to share back home. Maybe they're going to start treating us better now. Great news. But instead, he's in a pity party. We can talk ourselves into anything, and we can get ourselves into the terrible attitude. So if you find yourself some morning, in the middle of the day, having a rotten attitude, maybe we need to think back to Jonah. Say, I know somebody else that got in a rotten attitude when he didn't need to. Notice in verse 4, it says, Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? Just ask him that question. See, God gives us gentle little reminders. He brings thoughts to our mind just when we need them. He'll bring us up short. Now, Jonah didn't pay any attention to it. In fact, that brings us to the next point. Verse 5. It says, Jonah went out of the city. He sat on the east side of the city, and there he made a booth. And he sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. So Jonah decides to sit it out and wait. Notice what the first thing it says he does. He went out of the city. Now, why would Jonah do that? Here's a whole city that has just repented. Whole group of people that are open to hearing about God. People that won't kick him out now. They can list, they'll probably, scores of people would love to hear the Bible. And Jonah leaves the city. He leaves the people. And what does he do? He sits down on the side of the city and made a booth. So first he left the people, then he went out by himself, and then he made himself comfortable. How many days and how many opportunities have you and I ignored people that are all around us? And we've gone over into our own little space, done our own little thing, and started to make ourselves comfortable. And there's a world that needs to hear about Jesus. How many times have I gone into stores, and there's probably somebody there that God wanted me to say a word to, and I was so inward focused. I was into my own little world. I went, bought whatever it was, and left. And I missed an opportunity that God was giving me to share the greatest news the world's ever heard. And Jonah was missing out. And he went outside the city, and he sat down, and he made his booth, and he got comfortable. God's going to teach Jonah some lessons. He's going to teach us some lessons of what he does next. Next verse, it says, the Lord prepared a gourd and made it come up unto Jonah that it might be a shade over his head. God's going to make three things. First off, but you know, you go to McDonald's, they give you these little carry-home cups. They give you gourds. Look at that. That looks like a, that's a duck. There you go. There's a gourd. I don't want to miss, I'm not prejudiced. I like both sides. There you go. And this came from my mom's house. We're just there. I don't know if this gourd's like the gourds we have in Ohio. But God makes three things. The first thing he makes is a gourd. Doesn't that look like a duck? A little bit like a, there you go. He's related to the Aflac duck there. Okay. He prepared a gourd, and he made it to come up over Jonah, and it made that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. This was a specially prepared plant. Now, some of you have green plant, green thumbs. Okay, who's got a green? Who likes to garden? Raise your hand. I see 1, 2, 3, 4. Anybody over here? So this is the side that likes to grow things. This is a side that likes to kill things. Okay, so we got that down. Okay. So over here on this side, the grower's side, we'll call. Okay, have you ever planted something and have it grow in a single day? And you can notice the growth. There are some things that are very fast growing, aren't there? This particular gourd, it says God prepared it. I'm going to call it the miracle gourd. It sprung up in a single day, and it gave shade to Jonah. So it's not just like a wee little vine that went up the tree or up the pole. This thing sprouted, and I can just envision it being luscious and green. big, wide, green leaves in a shady spot on a hot day. And listen to what the Bible says was the result of this gourd that God prepared. He made it to deliver him from grief. So at the end of verse 6, it said, so Jonah was what? Exceedingly glad of the gourd. See, Jonah's a guy that's got emotion. And we can have emotion, can't we? Some of you guys go to a sports game. I'm sure I'll hear you screaming and yelling when your favorite team scores. Or if you have a grandchild, I'm sure Bob got very excited every time you hear of a grandchild being born. Randy's got, wow. You've had lots of excitement, haven't you, Randy? It's exciting days. Well, he went from being exceedingly mad to being exceedingly glad. All in one day. And what did it? Did he go to a therapist? No. Did he win the lotto? No. Did he get a new car? No. Get a new job? No. God simply prepared a gourd. Now, does that thrill you, a gourd? No. Some of you got kind of excited about those little gourds, but to be excited, to have extreme joy, because now you've got a shady spot. See, God knows when we need relief. And Jonah was in the midst of a big depression. I mean, he's already said, God, kill me. He's gone up on top of the, away from the city. He sat down. And when we're in the lowest points, God knows when to bring us help. God knows exactly how to encourage us. Who would have thought a gourd would bring him joy? But see, God knows what will bring each one of us joy. Aren't you glad we have a God that's concerned about us? A God that lifts us up when we're down. I thought of a Keith Green, now that's going way back, Keith Green song. It was out of Psalms. I think it was Keith that sang this. You have turned to me my mourning into dancing. I cannot be silent. How many know that song? Nobody, Bob, there's maybe one or two have heard that. Psalm 30, verse 11 says, Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth, and Thou hast girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praises to Thee. By the way, singing is the outcome of a thankful heart. That I might sing praise to Thee and not be silent, O Lord my God, I will give thanks to You forever. And that's what happened to Jonah. He's exceedingly glad. But now God prepares a second thing. He delivers us from our grief. But now, in verse 7, the worm. How many of you know the VeggieTales song, The Bunny, The Bunny, oh, I gotta have the bunny, the bunny. I started thinking about this song when I was reading this. The worm, the worm, oh, here comes the worm. God brings the worm along. God prepared a worm, and when the next morning rose, the next day, it smote the gourd, and that it withered. It's interesting, as I read that, he prepared a worm when the morning rose. So he gave Jonah shade for a day, and that night he got to sleep. And he gave him a time of rest. And so now it's morning has come. Jonah's been glad. Now Jonah should snap out of it. I don't think Jonah should have stayed on top of that mountain or that hillside overlooking the city. I think it was time for Jonah to get up. God had given him rest. He's refreshed. But you know what? Jonah stays under his booth. And so what does God do? If Jonah's not going to move, he's going to give him a worm. So the worm comes up and it eats the gourd. Well, he starts to eat it and it shrivels away. It was probably time for Jonah to start forgiving the Ninevites. God's going to move us if we plan ourselves. If we sit out the work that God's got prepared for us, guess what? He can bring a worm your way. He got rid of that comfortable gourd. And then Jonah still doesn't get up. And so we see the third thing God prepares in verse 8. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement or a scorching east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah and he fainted and he wished in himself to die. And he said, it's better for me to die than to live. He fainted. I ran cross country in college and it ran in some hot weather. Graduated from college, Sarah and I were married, and then we were expecting our first child. And so I entered a road race. And I can remember it was August 1982. It's in Leesburg, Ohio, southern Ohio, so it's a hilly course. And I even kind of drove the course before the race. We started the race off, and it was I was feeling good. I told Sarah about what time I would be at each mile so that she and her aunt and her grandmother and Sarah, they drove around to the different mile marks because they could do that because it made a great big loop and they were inside the town so they could go out in the country at a crossroad and see me. And they were doing that. And I think I was just right at 6 minutes, a little bit under 6 minutes a mile. And so at every mile, I said, you know, the first mile will be there at 6 minutes, the next one 12, etc. And I remember at the four-mile mark, I saw Sarah for the last time. And it was a big hill, and I'd planned to make a move on this hill. It was about three-quarters of a mile, that hill. And I was in the top eight. And there was a guy that was running with me that was a senior at Wilmington College, Ohio, and he was on their cross-country team. And I had decided on that hill that I was going to make a move and I was going to break him and I was going to take off. So I got down to the top of the hill and I started to put a little kick on. Now I'm still at least three quarters of a mile, maybe a mile from the finish line. And I start to go into a kick and I started to pass him and then I passed a few more. And I got three quarters of the way up this hillside and I started thinking my thumbs feel really big for some reason. I kept looking at them. They didn't seem big. They didn't look big, but they felt big. And then I noticed I'm not running a straight line. I'm kind of running zigzagging, and I didn't know what was going on. And I got to the peak of the hill, I realized something's wrong. I better start walking. And how sad that was to start walking. And all these people I'd passed start to pass me. And poor Sarah, they were back there. They knew exactly what time I should probably be in. And minutes passed, and 5 minutes passed, and 10 minutes passed. And they don't see me. I'm sure, did you start to get worried a little bit? Yeah. I was having a heat stroke. And here the temperature that day was 101 degrees, and I didn't stop at any of the water stations. Bad, because in cross country, in college, you don't take a water break. So I wasn't used to taking water breaks, so I had a little heat stroke. Jonah, I think, felt worse than what I did. Because God prepared a scorching east wind. And the Bible says, guess what? He fainted. Now, I didn't actually faint. But Jonah, guess what? He fainted. We sit out in our little world and we don't attempt the work that God's put before us. God sure knows how to kill our comfort. He provided a gourd first to give him relief. And then when he wouldn't move, he gave him a worm. Then finally he gave him a scorching heat. And then now in verse 9, God says to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry at the gourd? Now, this is the second time he's questioned Jonah. He's asking him, should you really be angry? Look what Jonah says. And he said, I do well to be angry. Yep, even to death. I got a right to be angry. And we sit here and we read this and you think, oh, stupid Jonah. Aren't you paying attention to God? And yet that's back on us, isn't it? God tries to tell us things over and over again, and we just don't want to listen. We need to have our ears attuned. Now, we had one of the gals that was upstairs in the Sunday school class plays an instrument. And she plays the French horn. Now, that's a very, it's a wonderful instrument. It's one of the hardest instruments to play. You have to have an excellent ear and a really good armature to play the French horn. You have to be able to really listen well to play that instrument. And we need to be like a French horn player. We need to attune our ears to be listening to what God's trying to tell us. Jonah didn't pay any attention. And finally, in the last two verses, God sets him straight. The Lord said, thou hast shown pity on the gourd for which thou neither laboreth, nor which made it grow, which came up in a night and it perished in a night. And he reminds Jonah, you're upset about this gourd, and yet you never planted it. You never made it grow. It came up in one night, and it was gone in one night. And you're upset about that gourd, and shouldn't I, he says in the last verse 11, he said, shouldn't I not spare Nineveh, that great city? And now you're going to have to do your math here. In the King James here, it says 60,000 person. Now, if you ever read the Gettysburg Address, Abraham Lincoln said, what, 67 years ago? So a score is the number 20. So you got to multiply it. So 60 would be 6 times 20. That's 120,000. He's saying there's 120,000 that don't know their right hand from their left hand. Now, who would that be? I think everybody in here, if I ask you to raise your right hand, you do it. Let's raise our right hand. Okay. Everybody here, except for maybe one. No. Everybody here has got their right hand down. Little children don't know their right hand from their left hand. A baby doesn't know their right hand from the left hand. And God's saying to Jonah, don't you know there's 120,000 children here. And shouldn't I have mercy upon the children? And then just to put a little dig in there, you notice the last thing he says, and also much cattle. And so Jonah, if you won't have compassion on 120,000 children, well, there's also cattle. Of course he should have compassion on the children. Be sure not showing it. But God is a God of great compassion. That's the reason why he said, should not I spare Nineveh? See, that's God's desire to be merciful. God's desire is that all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to turn from their wicked way, to turn to him, to believe in his son Jesus Christ, died on the cross, was buried and came alive the third day. God's desire is that no person here and no person in the houses that surround our church and no person in your workplace or around your house would ever go to that lake of fire. That lake of fire, that place called hell, God made that for Satan and the fallen angels. But his desire is that man would repent, that they would trust and simply believe him. God doesn't want to send anybody to hell. We, as mankind, everyone that goes there is choosing to reject God. But God's desire is that they would be saved. Jonah left the people. He went out to his little space and he got comfortable. And God shook his life with a worm and then a blistering wind. And finally he spoke to him. I'm so thankful that God is a great God of compassion. I hope everybody here doesn't only know about Jesus. Because, see, there's going to be lots of people that the Bible says at the end, they're going to say, "Lord, Lord." There's going to be people that have known Jesus' name, but inside, they've never believed in their heart that Jesus died for them, the Son of God, that he was buried and that he came back alive. He took your punishment and my punishment. And you've never accepted the gift of forgiveness that God's offering. I've got a watch here. And many of you, maybe, this is made out of, in fact, you could probably see it. It's made out of silver. It's got coral, a little red bird. It's got some turquoise. This is made by the Navajo Indians. And you could probably now describe this watch. You could say, "I know what that's made out of." And see, there's lots of people that are going to know about God. They've even read the Bible. And they could tell you about it. But the Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." He offers us a gift. It's like, we'll pretend it's Jennifer's birthday. And now, Jennifer, I'm going to offer you a gift. Now, is it yours yet? Is this yours?
No.
When would it become hers? She'd have to accept it. And she, now I just lost my watch. Okay. Okay, thank you. So, that's the way it is with God. He doesn't twist our arm. He doesn't beat us up to make us believe. He offers it as a gift to us. And that's the way you can explain it to somebody. It's a gift. And you accept it not just by accepting the watch. But the Bible says you accept it by believing in your heart. If you should confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So it's simply by believing in your heart. And that's how you accept God's gift of forgiveness. Then you become his child. The moment that happens, it's called a new birth. And you become his child. And so, we're going to close here. I'm going to ask the musicians to come up. We're going to have a time of invitation. And maybe there's been times you've been to church many, many times, or maybe just a few. Maybe you've read the Bible, maybe you haven't read the Bible that much. But here's the good news. Jesus died for you. And he offers you the gift of forgiveness if you will only believe and accept it. Turn from your wickedness like Nineveh did and believe. Maybe God's laid something on your heart. Maybe you've been depressed about something. Maybe you've talked yourself into something and it's just been bugging you, and you got to give that over to God. Say, "God, I've been creating this mess in my head. I need to give that over to you." Maybe you've gone up on the hillside and you've been sitting for a while. And maybe there's somebody God has keeps putting on your mind that he wants you to talk to. Maybe you're in the time of the gourd. And God God's brought great refreshment right now in your life. You just want to tell him thank you. You can come up here and you can talk to God. You can do it where you're sitting, but there's something about coming forward. There is something about that. But you can pray where you're at, or you can come forward. Whatever it is that God's laid upon your heart, maybe it's some person. Or maybe he hasn't, and you want to say to God, I need to, God, be listening to you. Whatever it is that God's spoken to you, whatever you want to talk to him about, this is open to you.